let it rip.
That's right. Thank you, Dan Quinn. Did Bob hear that yet?
Who did you say?
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn or Van Quinn?
Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Let it rip.
That's how the morning starts from here on out.
I thought you were saying Van Quinn, like this is a takeoff of the band Van Halen from back in the day. You know, my friend Paul was telling me a story the other day. He goes, I know I'm the old man in the office. He goes, I overheard these kids in their 20s talking about this band called Van Halen. Mm. And one of them says, I've never heard of them. I'll have to check them out sometime.
That's great.
Hot take. Extremely hot take. Van Halen's overrated.
I think they're properly rated. I think they're properly rated. I know some people will not like the Sammy Hagar era versus the, what was the other guy's name? Was
David,
it
Lee Roth. David Lee Roth.
I don't know why I'm blanking.
The guy that wore the leather pants with no
other
underwear.
Day, yeah.
look like a damn anaconda down there ready to fight somebody.
He was ready to roll. So I know people like the Sammy Hagar, you know, deal
Van
better.
Hagar
but
is what
Van
those
Hagar,
people call it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. They do. They call it Van Hagar. Mac, did you know who Van Halen was? Please tell me you
of
did.
Course.
You're a music guy. You know that
yes,
is, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Anybody that's been to a Chiefs game in the last 40 years knows the song Black Betty, Jump, Start Me
Black
Up.
Black Betty is not Van Halen.
I know, but I'm just saying songs.
These songs. Yeah.
If you've been to Arrowhead, you know Ball with the Ball, unfortunately. You know Jump.
Yeah. Jump.
You know Start Me Up. You know, Black Betty. Like, you can sing Black Betty every word, and no one knows what that guy's saying. Chiefs.
I love it, though. I love when they play Black Betty at Arrowhead.
There is a different sort of vibe that hits your soul when the kicker puts his finger in the air and you hear the Stones.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, it's great. It's nostalgia and awesome all at the same time, right? Like, because it reminds you when the Chiefs first became good, they got the thing moving in the right direction, and Marty and Carl were doing their thing here, and that Start Me Up took over, and everybody loved that. And that's the nostalgia, you know, that you have at Arrowhead Stadium that you like. Black Betty is the same way, too, because when you hear that, whoa, Black Betty, ram and lamb.
Awesome.
Whoa, Black Betty, ram and lamb.
You guys are getting me going this morning.
I we haven't done this in a while, but why not early off in the day?
Oh, wow.
Already.
Yeah,
Brett
baby.
Brett from Miller.
Did a Will Chamberlain court.
Early out of Holiday Friday.
Right. You think I'm a damn fool?
Yes. I also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Black Betty is not Black Betty. It's Ram Jam.
Oh.
There we go.
Let me look it up on my phone because I know I have it.
It is Ram Jam.
It is Ram Jam?
I'm pretty sure. And then they put like the parenthesis. It's parentheses. Ram Jam. Or Black Betty, whatever it is. Someone once told me what that song's about, and I don't know if I believe it. But is that true?
I think it is.
The group is called Ram Jam.
And it's called Black Betty?
It's called Black Betty. Oh, yeah, Black Betty's song, Ram Jam. Oh. I never knew that. I was today years old. I thought the name of the song was Black Betty.
Yeah, well, I would have said that for sure.
I had no idea. That is weird. I did not know that. Holy cow. I had no idea.
Hey, we learned something new.
Yeah, learned something new.
That's what you do on Fridays.
Yeah. But thanks, Coach, for that one. But today. I had no idea. I was, you know, today, like I was yesterday years old when I learned it's cold as hell.
Did you, have you been told what that song's about? Ram Jam?
I can only imagine now that I know the name of the song is Ram Jam. I can only imagine where that is, but yes.
Okay.
It's one of those things, Dusty, you catch yourself. I think I may have saved you there. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you what this... No, we're not going to discuss it. If you know, you know. If you don't, you know. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's something you look up in the commercial break.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when Ryan told Denny what Travis Hafner's nickname was. I don't know if you ever heard that story.
I don't know that I did. I mean, if you tell it, I may recall.
Travis Hafner's nickname was Prunk.
Uh-huh.
And there's a reason for that. I'll give you half of it. I'll give you the prefix. You can figure out the suffix. Mm-hmm. But he was from the projects, and there's the other part of it as well. Mm-hmm. So Ryan, one time on the air, was like, and here's Travis Hafner, Denny, the DH for the Cleveland Indians. Powerful hitter with a nickname who people call him Prunk.
And Denny goes, like Denny does, for a hard pause, "Prunk, huh, Ryan? What's the origin of that?" And Ryan just says, "Denny, we'll talk about it off the air." So they came back, and he's like, "Travis Schaffner, who goes by a name of which we'll mention other times. Royals down 2-0.
And that's why Denny and Ryan are the best to listen
fantastic.
To. It is awesome.
So many moments. I remember one, there was a guy on TV, and he had his shirt off, and he was jacked out of this world. And Ryan's just like, "Man, that guy's going to get sunburned. He's going to hate it tomorrow." And Denny just goes, "Go down and say it to his face, Ryan."
Yeah, I know. I do remember that one. Yeah. Like Ryan's like, "Nope, not going to go down there." I mean, yeah. Ryan and Denny are priceless together. I think they only do 20 games a year now, and they're always like home weekend series, because that's when Ryan says he will go off of TV and do the radio, because he wants to do it with Denny and make sure he's there with Denny doing those games. So they're always like weekend home games when he has the opportunity to do that. And it's must listen to radio. You know, Ryan, a player, I want to say back in the day, I think it was Milton Bradley. I could be wrong about that. Went up to the radio booth, tried to beat up Ryan in the middle of a game. I think it was Milton Bradley, if I'm not mistaken on that.
And then
that.
HUD one time tried to beat a statistician.
Yeah,
because they gave a guy an air and he stormed into the press box room. They said, "Sir,
you can't do that."
And they said, "HUD, I don't care who you are. You can't come into this room."
Yeah.
"Hey, sorry, man, but he's got to go."
Yeah. You could see HUD too. "Oh, sorry. Sorry, man."
Oh, yeah. But I could also see like HUD flipping a switch.
Oh, God,
like,
yes. That's what I'm saying. Like he went from 100 to zero immediately.
Rex.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
Because he's still a massive human.
Oh, he's a big man.
Like, yeah. I think it's always funny. People hear like Rex Hudler's, like, you know, his vocabulary and like how he is. And then like the first time you meet Rex, you're like, "Why do you remind me of Arnold Schwarzenegger?"
Yeah, he is. He's really a big guy. Yeah.
First overall pick.
I always thought at the beginning when he first took over here, it was like, it sounded a little bit like Hulk Hogan on the air.
Well, I guess. "What you gonna do, Minnesota, when the Royals run around? That's all over you."
That's exactly right. Do you know we're 105 days away from the Chiefs' first game?
105.
Let's go. Yeah, 105 days away.
What are we going to do until then?
I don't know, but it's a Friday night game. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, we got a lot to get
July's
us through.
July's wide open.
Yeah, well, August is there for the taking. You know, You've got all this kind of stuff popping up. But 105 days from today, the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the what's that team called out there in San Diego that they're going to play? The
Chargers.
Fakers? Oh, the Chargers.
It's today.
Yeah, that's
go
right.
Chargers,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah, play them in 105 days.
Dang,
so
we're almost halfway through the year. That's crazy. And,
well, that means it was Halloween a couple of days ago.
Yes,
Mac.
Exactly.
Well, that means what, we're like 85 days from the first preseason game then?
It's got to be.
It's
well,
like 3 weeks or
yeah,
four,
probably
four
3 weeks.
Yeah, three weeks before that.
So
because
shave off a
well about
days?
A month, because you got then you had the week off after that, so about a month from now.
Oh, so I was thinking they only had two preseason. They still have three preseason. So
yeah,
a month,
two,
full
really.
Month. Yeah.
What
right.
is August 9th, their first preseason game? So yeah, we're roughly about, you know,
here we go.
Yeah, 30 days minus 170 some days. Oh my God, that's too early.
Oh, I thought you just looked at the TV. I was like, yes.
Yeah, Bob. No. Hello.
It won't be
good
long.
Morning, MLB Network.
Yeah.
We're hearing from the British lady.
Hell yeah. Hello.
There are no cliches with this lady on MLB Network.
Oh, there are not.
Quick
wow.
pitch is exactly accurate.
Yeah, as long as they don't have that one guy on who I don't like. What's his name? Kenny Albert? Not Kenny Albert.
Albert.
Kenny Mayne? Kenny?
Oh, I love Kenny Mayne.
Not Kenny
no,
Mayne
it's
either.
Not Kenny.
Kenny, Kenny, Kenny.
Brian Kenny.
Brian Kenny.
Yes,
yeah, that
yes,
guy.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Not a fan.
Thanks for letting me bet that Minnesota game last night.
Yeah, sorry.
We both took plus 7.5 and they doubled it down.
Yeah.
Is
you guys were
over?
Both on Minnesota last night.
Yeah.
Did I tell you Oklahoma City was going to win when you announced that bet yesterday?
Yep.
I said, Oklahoma City's winning.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
And boy, I tried again last night, man. I cracked the blinds a little bit last night. That game sucked again. I mean, the only thing I took away from that is that dude what's his name? Clifford? Chet Holmgren?
Chet Holmgren.
Dude, his legs are gross. Like, watching those legs, I'm waiting for them to just snap.
I know.
And I'm not talking below the knee. I'm talking above the knee, where my friend at the time thought he was dating a woman whose knee leg was fake from the knee up and the knee down was still alive. Hammered in Las Vegas 20-some years ago, 30 years ago now. Thought knee above was fake, knee below was real. That's Chet Holmgren to me. That's those knees and legs are going to snap on that guy.
There's a chance.
Yeah, I've always got to gain some weight. I had a great game again last night, though.
I mean, you would think he's got to bulk up a little bit, yes, but you're right. He's got a great shot, but those legs, I can't get past those legs.
What do you think he squats?
Zero.
Yeah, not a lot.
At all.
I mean, do you think he gets one plate on each side?
He could probably do a plate on each side.
Which is what, 45?
135.
So that's 90.
I mean, does he even weigh 200 pounds? He's 7 foot, like,
absolutely. His bones alone weigh 200 pounds.
Man, I don't know if he's 200
or not. It just hurts me watch him run.
It's terrible. I can't get past watching that guy. It does. It looks very, very awkward and painful.
207. He's right there.
Soaking wet.
So he's 207 that they list him at. He's probably 185.
Yeah. And Michael Beasley was 7 feet tall at K-State.
Yeah, right.
Six at the combine.
Yeah,
how'd you lose all that inches? Well, Manhattan's high. I don't know what happened with Michael Beasley, but he was 7 foot tall in college. He was 6'6" in the NBA or whatever he was.
Still playing 3v3.
Yeah, he is, dude. He's a stud.
Does that guy play on stilts? Is he a member of the Savannah Bananas? Yeah. Who are in town this weekend, by the way, and all the rain's coming. That sucks.
Yeah, and their manager will be in studio today.
Yeah.
Can't wait to have that conversation. Because they should be the one team, as long as there's not thunder and lightning, that should play throughout the rain.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe they've got a dome that they put up, and that'll be something awesome that all the other teams in baseball and football are like, whoa, wait, where'd you come up with this thing? Like, just an umbrella dome, and it covers the whole stadium?
But it's
like,
if
anybody's going to have it, Savannah Bananas are going to have something like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Savannah Bananas have the rain dome. Bob's got the mosquito dome.
That's right. You better believe it.
And Houston no longer has the Astrodome. Now they have Dykin Field. It is where it is. Coming up in a little bit. Guys, I hate to tell you this, but I was right about one individual who did it for the first time last night, and it's coming quicker than you think. We'll get into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fernier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. It's a damn good day.
It is. It's a holiday weekend Friday, too. A rainy weekend, which is going to stink. I was telling Dusty earlier, I don't know why this one has me so bent that the whole weekend is going to be washed out. Like, you're used to rain, but for whatever reason, I've been pissed all week about this one. But we got to make the most of it, right?
Probably because you actually had plans written in stone.
Yeah, we actually did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We're going to see some friends we hadn't seen in quite some time, so I was looking forward to that. Shout out Tony and Tracy.
Not anymore.
No, not going to do that. And then we were going to go with Ralph on the boat, you know, on Saturday. I got one kid at the lake, one kid I don't know where she is at this point in time. So summer's off to a great start. You know, you turn your locations off, you're gonna have hell to pay.
That's not allowed.
Yeah. Not beating around that bush.
I get a little benefit of the doubt. Maybe the phone died last night, but then we saw that you took your charger with you wherever you went.
Parents see everything.
Oh, yes, we do. And you wake up at, you know, what time we do, and you check the locations, and there's nowhere to be found. And your wife has to go out in the 4 o'clock in the morning looking for your daughter. That was fun today. I'm kind of bummed. The plans were canceled over the weekend.
Well, that makes perfect sense why you're upset then. Yeah, I would be upset
I've been upset even before today about this. Spending time with Ralph is something I love doing all the time. Ralph. And then I was looking forward to seeing my friends and going to their pool, Tony and Tracy, or Tina and Tony, as I call them. But also, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's plans are washed out. So many people are going to the lake. It's washed out this weekend. Some people are canceling plans this weekend because they don't want to go. Like, it's just, it's going to stink out there. But hey, you get the holiday weekend, so you enjoy it. And thank the troops, man, because that's all about too.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Cax sends a line drive, a rocket out to right, and that one's out of here. The first Triple-A home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
Boys?
3-0 pitch, just jacked, no pun intended.
Yep.
That went over the right field wall. I give the announcer credit. He knows this is like audition tapes for him, too, to get to the big league level. You got Jack Caglione hitting home runs. You better nail those calls. Pretty good call by that guy. Not bad.
No doubt about it. So got promoted this week. Slash line, average is 308. 308-538-846. Again, 13 at-bats, very small sample size, but getting off to a hot start is what you wanted to see.
Absolutely.
That's the best way you can do it because it shows you that the promotion did not affect you. Like I have said from the beginning of the Caglione timeline, the guy is poised. The guy does not care about the hype of the spotlight. The guy is 22 years old. Call him a kid if you want. He's not 18. He's not 19. It's not Jackson Holliday. It's not Adalberto Mondesi. The guy's got more character and poise as an individual. He moves up to AAA, and so far right now, we are seeing that it did not affect him becoming up into the, and he's hitting third.
Yeah. You had mentioned something there that I think, and I'm going to take a total sidebar on this one, but you brought up something without even knowing it. I don't think that is so important. And you mentioned the word character with this kid, right? And I think it is important. I was talking to a buddy of mine who covers baseball about this Padres situation that's going on. I think they've lost five or six in a row, and the people inside the clubhouse, the players are saying there's no leadership inside that clubhouse, right? You've got Machado, you've got Tatis, you've got these two great baseball players, but they've been outscored like, 13-2 in the last three games or something like that. They've lost five in a row. They're complaining about that leadership. That's the character side of things that is so important. And when people say, oh, I don't care about somebody's character as long as they can play. Yeah, that's all well and good when things are going good. It's when things are going bad is when that character really shines through, and you have to have those guys that can get you over to that next hump. And so as great as he's doing on the field, if the character thing and the winning mentality thing carries him even further, that's a benefit for everybody on the team because the Padres are loaded with talent and they're now infighting out there because they don't have the right character guys to lead that team. Character is so important, and he does clearly seem to be that guy where the character's there, the moment's not too big, he seems to understand everything that he's, being tasked with in front of him. And so I'm to the point now too where, like, how long are you going to leave him down here? Like, what does he really have to do in AAA to finally get that promotion?
No doubt he is the number 10 prospect in baseball. That number will climb throughout the weeks if he continues to play like he does. He's the Royals' obvious, far and away number one prospect. I know there's Blake Mitchell's, there's Gavin Cross, there's all these guys. Reeve is right there as well. That Duvernay guy keeps hitting home runs in Omaha.
Tardif?
No, I forget how to say his last name, but he's hit three home runs in three consecutive days. There's a lot to Caglione to dive into, which is fine because we've got some time, but I will say this, fortunately enough, going down there in Springfield and doing that pack opening with Cody and Gold and seeing who he was as a person, he didn't care about anything other than just kicking it, having a conversation. And then after it was over, it was 15 more minutes of just shooting the breeze. Asked him about facing Paul Skeens. Said he never got to face him.
Well, he might when Paul's traded to the Yankees.
That's fair.
Because the GM did come out of Pittsburgh yesterday and say we're not trading him, which again means they're trading Paul Skeens.
Yeah. And so I think there's a lot to where the conversation has always started. And I think with what we've heard from fans, text line, people like Vern, people like JJ, Matt Cotrero, all these people that have said, we want to take our time. We want to make sure that we're not rushing this process. But there's another side of that, which is the opposite approach, which is what I have been on, which I think is obviously fanboyish, which is fine. And, even our Instagram page, throughout, we'll play what we heard yesterday and said, hopefully Dusty Likens didn't see this. But the thing that I have seen and the thing that I have always been heavy on is the fact that everyone says, don't rush, don't rush, don't rush. He is giving you zero options to rush. He is forcing your hand, which is okay to do because
it's actually what you want the player to do. And it's very rare that you see that. That's why we're seeing it. And we're kind of like, is this real? Because you don't normally see that,
And there's a reason why he's a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. There's a reason why he's far and away your number one prospect. The power is clearly there. The poise is there. The character is there. The attitude is there. And everyone says, well, I don't want him to come up and think that he's got to save this offense. He won't have that mentality. That group of guys in that locker room will not have that mentality. They will welcome him in. He will come in here and he will be a star on his own. It's not forced. He didn't come up with his nickname like some people do in radio on their own. It just naturally falls into the position. That's the way that he is doing things, and that's the way he's done things. Playing in the SEC was step one. That's high A ball. If you want to ask anybody that follows baseball, they'll tell you the exact same thing. Double A, 322, 9 home runs, 38 games, 152 at bats, striking out 37 times, 152 at bats. I will take that. That's fine. And then Jim Callis.
Because he's producing. He's correct. Giving you the average. He's giving you the home runs. He's driving in runs. You're okay with the strikeouts when somebody's hitting 322. Correct. It's when they're hitting $1.98 and they have 37 strikeouts and 12 at-bats that you're not okay with.
And this was Jim Callis, who was on yesterday with Cody and Gold. And previously in the week, J.J. Piccolo was on with Cody and Gold. And they both had similar to the same name when they comped Jack Caglione to a pro player.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's interesting. You know, Pete's, you know, they're both Florida Gators. I think we're talking offensively, so I get it. I mean, he's obviously a left-handed hitter. You know, I think he's a better hitter than Pete. I mean, I'll go along with the power, but I think he's a better hitter and a better athlete than Pete Alonso. So I guess I'm saying that he's,
wow.
I think he probably winds up being better than Pete Alonso, or at least has. Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say, and I really like Pete Alonso. I think he's probably going to be a better player than Pete Alonso when all is said and done.
The only question that I have on that for you, where's Vinny going to play?
So he brought that up. He brought that up, and he said that's why you'll see him in the outfield or DH, because what you'll have is, he said, if there's a day where Sal needs a day, you let Vinny DH and put Cags at first. If there's a day when Vinny needs a day, you put Cags at first, Sal catches, Vinny D is out that day. Or you put him in right, and they just cycle through. But again, like, wouldn't you rather have a bunch of options other than just, yeah, you can play right field or DH. He can play first, he can play right, I think he can play left, and he can DH.
And I wonder how much, too, of his call-up is going to be based on when Rusty thinks he's ready for the outfield, you know, because
sure.
And I'm talking about defensively, because I think offensively, really, what are we doing here, right? But I think defensively, getting him to become that great outfielder, like what he did with Alex Gordon, right? Mm-hmm. What he did with Alex Gordon is one of the great coaching jobs in the history of Major League Baseball, and that's not an overstatement, that's not hyperbole. He took a guy that played third base and converted him into a left fielder, basically at the big league level. I know Alex went down for a little bit, but he learned so much at the big league level and turned into be the best left fielder that we've ever seen here in Kansas City. If Rusty did that with Alex, what can he do with Jack Caglione too? And so that's where I think I don't want to call it a holdup, but the wait to bring him up is probably like, is this cat ready to go out there and play every day in right field if we have to use him? Because I think once he comes up, if he comes up to the big league level, you want to play the guy every day.
Sure.
Like I don't think, like, I would be angry, not because I want to see him, but because what I think is best for the player. You don't platoon Jack Caglione when he comes up here and have one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. He's got to play every single day. So we need to find that spot in the lineup where he is going to go out there and play every single day. And until they're ready to do that, then you keep him down at AAA because that's where he's going to play every single day. But until you're ready to make a roster move, Hunter, and bring the guy up and let him play every single day and let him learn and get his licks up here every single day, that's the only holdup for me. When Rusty says, yeah, this kid's ready to play at the big league level, let's go.
Well, Dusty says he's ready, but I don't have any weight into that matter. But I will say the reason he brought up Pete Alonso is because J.J. Piccolo said that's who he could be. That's what he sees a comparison to that. Look at Pete Alonso's rookie year and tell me he didn't go absolutely nuts, like 48 or 49 home runs.
If you could tell me that we would get Pete Alonso career out of Jack Caglione, I would take that today. I would sign up for that 100%. Today. Even though last year was a little rough for Alonso, it was a contract year and all that kind of stuff. You know, for him, he ended up signing a nice contract with the Mets. I think he has an opt-out after this year, too, which is wild because now he's tearing it up so he can opt out and he's going to make a lot of money. But if you tell me right now that Jack Caglione is going to be identical to what Pete Alonso did stat-wise, I'll take that every day of the week, and I won't ask questions about that. That's the guy that comes up into my mind. I don't know. The comps in baseball always make me laugh, too. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, this guy's the next Bo Jackson. This guy's the next Pete Alonso. You never hear he's the next Stubby Clap.
Mm-mm. But the name that Jim compared Caglione to after that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put him up there with just about anybody in the big leagues. I mean, I'm not trying to say we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he's like a slightly bigger version to me. I don't think he's as polished a hitter, but if we're just talking the power, he's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei. And I know I was the one I kind of.
He also pitched, you know, so great.
He did, and it's funny. Like, I didn't like the Keg. I don't think anybody should be compared to Shohei as a two-way guy. And, like,
right.
I think the Royals also did what was smart. You know, I remember arguing with it with Greg Amstinger good-naturedly at the MLB Network desk during the draft last year. I would not have had him pitch as a pro either. I mean, it's interesting and intriguing, but his ceiling's so high. I want him devoting 100% of his time to being the best offensive player he could be, because that could be a 40-plus home run guy. But, like, I don't know, just the size and his ability to hammer pitches all over the place, out of the park, even if he doesn't square it up, it kind of reminds me of Shohei, to be honest.
So, why can't he be Shohei, though? Like, why have we let pitchers in Major League Baseball, I know we don't do it anymore, but why have we let them become colossal wastelands when it comes to hitting? Because if you go back and you think about your childhood and you think about your high school days, the best player on the team was the pitcher, the shortstop, and the guy had a bat as well. And then these guys graduate, they become pitchers, and then they forget how to hit when they were the best hitters on their team in high school. How cool would it be to see Caglione and Shohei Ohtani kind of revitalize that, where, yeah, I'm going to pitch today, but I'm also going to get up there and hit you two home runs. Like, I know that seems like blasphemy for Major League Baseball, but why can't a guy be a good pitcher and a good hitter in this game? Why does it have to be one or the other? Well, does anybody have an answer for that?
Yeah, because you don't need him to be a pitcher on this team.
Well, you don't need him to be a pitcher on this team. No, so, I'm just talking in general, though. Like, if he's got the talent to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Travis Hunter. Like, why can't he play corner or receiver? Because he might be slightly better at one than the other, and you can focus more to become even better at that one position than the other. It's different with Caglione and the Royals. Like, I don't necessarily need to see him pitch. I mean, you have a pitching staff that's number two in baseball behind Detroit, who's number one in legitimately everything. Mm-hmm. But again, like, that's what's so great, is that if you listen to that, he's not comping him to Shohei Ohtani, because he brought up in the interview, and I listened to it yesterday, you can find it on our podcast page, Jim Callis is who joined Cody and Gold yesterday.
And who's he with?
He's Major League.
Is he MLB Network scouting guy?
Yeah, he does stuff for, like, the pipelines, like MLB pipeline. Okay. And so this is what he looks up. This is what he watches. And so it's not the fact that he's saying he can be Shohei Ohtani. It's the fact that he's a bigger type of hitter like Shohei Ohtani. So if you watch Shohei hit, which I believe the Dodgers do come to town this year, you have that opportunity. But if you watch Shohei hit, he covers all of the plate because of how large of a man he is. I think people don't underestimate how big of a person Shohei Ohtani is.
Yeah, he's huge, but Cags is big in a different way. Cags is more muscular. Right. Shohei's more tall.
Right, and Cags is 6'5", 250. That's a big dude.
That is a big
guy,
yeah.
And, you know, we, you know, joked around with Hosmer about the size 17 feet. The guy crowds the plate. And what he brought up yesterday, what he was talking about with Cody and Gold, is that the one thing, because you have to have something that people, you know, try to have you fix, was his chase rate, right? It was at like 34-35% he's chasing. But he then backs it up with, when Cags does chase, because he's so large and so on top of the plate, that his misses can be hits. Even if he doesn't barrel the ball, it can still fly out of the ballpark. And there's one thing the Royals have always needed, is somebody who doesn't matter when it comes to the size of this ballpark. And that is something that Caglione can do. He can shrink the K, whether you want to believe it or not. The guy's got it. He's got everything that brings up around that sort of guy. His aura is fantastic. And I'm just ready to see him get a chance, because he also said in the interview, if you want to see the whole thing in its entirety, said if he keeps up what he's doing in AA and continues to roll through in AAA, and that was without last night's game, he said the end of June could be a possibility for Caglione.
Well, which is about a month from now. And and that's the thing about prospects, is that you want them to tell you when they're ready, right?
Doing a good job of it right now.
They really are. Not many of them do tell you when you're ready. Obviously, we saw Paul Skeens over the year. I think Hosmer told us he was ready to come up. You want them to be in a situation where they're no longer challenged and there's no use for you in the minor leagues anymore, and they tell you that they're ready to come up. You don't want to bring somebody up out of need. You don't want to bring somebody up maybe. You want to bring somebody up who tells you, hey, man, I'm ready for this. It's time. And okay, we're all together on this. Yes, you are ready to come up to the big league level. And hopefully that'll make a difference, because we don't really need Cags to make much of a difference, guys, in this lineup. I was looking at some of the numbers over the course of baseball history yesterday, because I'm like, the numbers seem really low. The league is hitting 244 right now combined, which is one of the lowest in the history of Major League Baseball.
Colorado.
Right? Well, no, it's not even that. I mean, it's just batting averages over the course of the last couple of years have gone down. You look at some of the worst batting averages over the course of Major League Baseball in the history of this sport. This year, 2021, 2024, and 2022 are all some of the lowest batting averages of all time. They rank up there with 1968. Remember, they had to raise the mound because that was the year of the pitcher. And 1888. Like in 1888, 1908, the league hit 239, right? In 1885, the league hit 244. Okay. The league is hitting 244 today in the 1800s when they were playing with, like, you know, trees and no gloves and balls that were made out of socks. They're hitting the exact same time as did. So what I'm getting at is Cags doesn't have to come up here and be this offensive juggernaut. If he can just give you a little bit, that's going to be the difference between scoring 3 runs a game, possibly scoring 4 runs a game, and we know what happens when the Royals score 4 runs a game. They essentially don't lose. So you don't need him to come up here and be this big explosive piece. If he could just give you a little bit, he's going to shift the entire dynamic of this lineup in favor of the Royals, because nobody else in baseball is scoring runs. Nobody else is hitting right now. We're hitting the same rate that we did in 1885, and if Cags can come up here and give you just a little bit, it's going to be all the difference in the world. That's all it's going to take. A little bit, another run per game, and this ball club may never lose a ball game.
I will also say that batting averages has gone down over the years because of what pitching has been. Like, it's now about spin rate, and pitchers are better today than they were, and maybe not totally. I mean, I know that there's will be names that jump out, like, well, Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, all these. Maybe the hitters were better than two.
Yeah.
But the way, and I do think in the near future, baseball, since they are trying to have this sort of renaissance get popular again, I think they will lower the mound. I think it's coming before we know it, because the way the pitchers have developed nowadays, because you look at Paul Skenes, what do they talk about? It's a spin rate. It's not that he's up there like Randy Johnson, 6'9", ugly with a mullet and just throwing, you know, about 48 inches from the plate because he's so long. Mm-hmm. It's that they're pitching different than they did.
Yeah, and also, too, Ben Maller texted me this yesterday. He goes, I'm watching the Atlanta Braves game. He goes, the announcer just explained that Ozzie Albies is not playing very well because his launch angle is down a bit. That's why batting averages are down, because we're focused on things that truly don't matter in the game when it comes to offensive production, because they believe that's the way you get paid. That's what agents will tell you. The home run, the hard hit rate, those are all great stats. Go out there and work on them, and you'll eventually get paid. And instead of just worrying about spraying the ball around the field, Ben went on to ask me what George Brett's hard hit rate was, or launch angle and all that. Guy's like, yeah, George didn't care about any of that. And so I think sometimes the numbers get skewed, and you look at the years that these numbers are bad, 21, 24, 22, 25, 20, you know, obviously the COVID year, but those are all the years we started worrying about this launch angle crap and hard hit rate instead of just spraying the ball around the field and getting base hits. And hopefully Cags can bring that kind of mentality too. The hard hit rate really doesn't matter. Just put the ball in play and let's use our speed and defense. And that's why I think he can make a big difference, because everybody in baseball is trying to jack him over the fence all the time. Just hit doubles, man. Just play some small ball, score a couple of more runs, and this team's going to be undefeated. I mean, they really are. You score 4 or 5 runs a game, this pitching staff's not giving that up.
The other thing about him, though, is that it's just natural. Like those guys, a lot of those guys that are trying to get, you know, launch angle and bat speed, that's because they don't have the natural raw power.
Yeah.
Now, some of them do, right? Some of them do have it, but like Caglione, he can just go up there with a stick in his hand, and if you leave it out over the plate, his natural raw power will absolutely destroy the ball.
Yeah, but instead of trying to do something that you're not capable of, why not just do something you're capable of? Like these,
because there's advantages by hitting the ball at a certain angle at a certain speed.
But there's also advantages to putting the ball in play and getting base hits. I think we're focused on the wrong things in baseball, and that's my opinion. And
I don't know.
I think launch angle's stupid. I think hard hit rate is ridiculous. And those are the stats that get talked about when somebody is batting .233. Well, look at their hard hit rate. I mean, like they were doing with Salvi, you know, sure, and all that kind of stuff. Hard hit rate ain't scoring us runs. I mean, we've got to find a way to generate runs and base hits. And I think if baseball players get back to just putting the ball in play and not worrying about launch angle and hard hit rate, I think the game would be better for it.
I think this lineup's better with Caglione in it, because he's not a savior. He's just an addition. He's saving you from making a trade for a bat that could fail you. That's what Caglione is. That's the only thing he's saving you from. He's saving you from making a trade or losing a pitcher.
Or he's preventing you, not preventing you, what's the word I'm looking for? Helping you not have to make a trade if guys aren't available, too. The last thing you want to do is force a trade for a middling, you know, bat because nobody else is available that's any good, and you end up giving up prospects and you don't really get that ROI that you wanted in that situation. So that may factor in as well, because here we are just about at the beginning of June, right? We're a week away from the end of May. You're going to start to see teams hopefully start prying guys off their roster and start be willing to trade. If that trade market doesn't heat up, the Cags market will definitely heat up, because that's going to be ultimately your option in this thing.
This group says, F it, juice them up, and let's have some fun. We'll discuss what that means on the other side here in Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! A Texas rattlesnake, baby. Better believe it. You hear this music, you just want to take two beers, smash them together, and pour them down your throat, shave your head bald and have a goatee and say, "If you know, that's the bottom line."
The best.
God, that music would, I mean, 8-year-old Dusty, the glass shatter.
Sure.
Oh.
Be monitoring this. Jason Kelce right now is on our sister station in Philadelphia talking about the tush push situation. So
okay. There
may be some interesting kind of commentary and audio coming from that there in
Hopefully that's
Philadelphia.
How he walked into the meetings was the glass shattering.
Oh, I hope he walked in like Vince McMahon there, you know, just kind of, you know, strutting in, you know, always see that video and going out. Because this is the picture that they're showing of Jason Kelce. I'll show it to the camera too. It looks like he's ready to go strut in there and take care of some business in that meeting room with those guys. And so I think Jason Kelsey's going to, you know, knock some heads around next time the owners try to ban something. He don't have time for this crap.
There's like Joe Tooney in that picture.
He does look a little bit like Joe Tooney.
Yeah. Are you sure that's Kelsey?
Yeah, that's definitely him. Tooney played for the Eagles, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Not
Patriots,
yet.
Chiefs, and Bears.
Yeah. The Bears.
So, yeah, the bottom line of this next conversation is that PEDs being allowed, or a new enhanced game set for May 2026. You down with this?
I don't know if I am or not. I've thought a lot about this. Like, if all the sports leagues out there formed an offshoot, like the NFL Roid or MLB Roid or NHL Roid or NBA Roid, where if you played in that league, you had to be on steroids, is that something that you would watch? Because they're trying to basically do the steroid Olympics here, is what they're trying to do. I don't know if that would be entertaining. I don't know if that would be exciting. I don't know if that would be fun. I'm kind of torn about that one. I think it would be interesting for about 5 minutes, and then we'd be like, okay, this guy's going to like roid out in front of me and lose his mind. So I don't know, man. Like, watching a bunch of roided up dudes play football on the field, we did that in the 70s. I don't know that we're going to necessarily do that again.
Or in the roid Olympics.
They did. It was great in baseball. Yeah.
And you guys always say, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You guys always say it was the best time in baseball.
No, in baseball it was. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I never got to see that. So yeah, give me this. Yes. Absolutely.
So you want to see the roid Olympics that ESPN is peddling out there.
Yeah, so Dan Murphy wrote an article on ESPN. Enhanced Games announced plans Wednesday to host in exactly 1 year its first annual competition in which athletes will be allowed, if not outright encouraged, to use PEDs like steroids, testosterone, and growth hormones that are typically legal to possess and but banned in sports. Organizers say they hope to remove the stigma of using these substances and promote safer ways to push the limits of human performance.
Is this Philip Morris trying to release the stigma of smoking? I mean, like trying to reduce the stigma of using steroids?
You can have 3 cigs a night, not 7.
That's right.
You know, you can have 4 drinks a night, not 8, Dusty.
That's right, yes.
Maloney, you can have, 2 pieces of pizza, not 4, Mac.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, no, I see. Yeah, no. You can have 2 Reese's peanut butter cups, Bob, not the 4 king size.
I went looking for those peanut butter and jelly ones yesterday,
we
by the way.
We were told to stay away.
I know, but I was good, because once you're told no, what are you going to do?
Of course.
Right?
Don't touch it. It's hot.
Exactly. So I was looking for them yesterday, went to the local pharmacy, did not find any out there. Did not see any of those. Did not see it.
The pharmacy.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe if you lose a tooth, the tooth fairy will come and put a peanut butter cup under your bed.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
So I don't know. I mean, whatever. We have sports. I'm at the point now where, like, the way the world is and what we've seen, we have cornhole championships that involve young children.
How often are you watching that, though?
Saturday afternoon, 2:00, nothing on TV.
You're going to watch that.
Oh, ESPN2's got the cornhole competition brought to you by Bush's Baked Beans, because of course it is.
And of course it is,
And it's literally, one time I watched it, was like 12-year-old kids playing against each other. I'm like, imagine these kids like in Daryl's front lawn kicking everyone's ass in cornhole. And they're like, all right, run it back.
Oh, no, I told you, 2 years ago, we went to Portland and the neighborhood had a cornhole championship. Oh. And we were down 15-1, and I came back on a run and we beat that. Or we were down like 14-1.
Wow.
Came back and beat that ass 15-14. The neighbors, Dusty's not, like, I don't play these games. You
Nobody
know how
heated,
I am,
dude.
Right? But these neighbors that, like, they're like, why'd you bring in this ringer?
Bob's over there, half cocked up martinis.
Yeah, like I could care less. I'm just throwing, and everyone just swish, swish, swish.
Wow!
And it was an unbelievable. It's my greatest sport accomplishment, winning the cul-de-sac bags tournament in Portland, Oregon, against people I don't know. It was fantastic.
Because we also have that sport where people slap each other in the face as hard as they can. They hold like a thunder stick.
So,
because if you drop the thunder stick, you've lost all feeling. Yeah, is that what that is?
Something like that. Probably. When you guys came over a couple of weeks ago,
I was just about to say,
did we not watch pillow fighting?
I'm just making sure
pillow fighting was like, that's how good the Knicks Celtics game was at that point in time. We're watching pillow fighting.
Also, if these guys want to participate in this sport for whatever reason and they want to do whatever they want to do, your body, your choice.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't care if they want to do it. Yeah.
And if it's entertaining, I'll watch it, but I don't want you to come after me and be like, you're supporting. Like, no. These guys are willingly doing this, and it's entertaining from their perspective. Look, you want to do a hot dog competition? You might get gout. You might die of a heart attack at the age of 50, but you were a prize championship. Dude, I'm going to watch you.
Maybe a douche at a bar in New Orleans. I mean, it all leads to that. I mean,
that's where I'm at. Like, I'm...
Yeah, no, I'm with you from that standpoint. I'm looking at it from my standpoint going, would this be interesting? Like,
I don't know.
Is this one of those things, like, remember, we watched marble racing during COVID, right? Because it was there, it was unique, it was interesting, it was one race, we were done. We watched emus race against each other at one point. We watched Korean baseball at one point because that was going on. Like, we were breaking down Korean baseball every morning because it was on live on ESPN. It was the only thing going on. Is it going to be in that category, or is this going to be something that people seemingly gravitate to? Because I feel like, you know, in an hour we'll have the director of baseball operations for the Savannah Bananas in. I have a hard time seeing like new sports popping on the scene other than what the Bananas have done. I feel like they'll have like a moment and then it will completely dissipate. Like I think a lot of things do because you don't have that tie. You don't have that buy-in of like who these people are. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, like 22 J.J. Watts on the field. I don't know. Sign me.
But they're not doing it for that. Like, for that, you'd probably watch a little bit. Like, you're not watching the UFL. And that's basically retired bouncers.
And somebody brings up American Gladiators. Those people were definitely jacked out of their mind on steroids.
But that was interesting,
Yeah, I mean, they were playing Capture the Flag and each other with, like, the little missile balls or whatever.
Of course, it was also
were.
In, like, the 70s and 80s when there was 90s. Not a lot of, like, offerings on TV.
Right.
You know, that's,
it makes sense.
Laser and blazer and glazer.
Did you watch the documentary on the American Gladiators?
It was very sad.
Really, like, disturbing. But
again,
they did it. Yeah.
I just said this, and I still stand on this business. Mm-hmm. They did that to themselves.
Yep.
They got paid for it. They knew the I mean,
you knew.
It's
you
like you brought up the other day, Dewey Cox, the movie.
Yes.
This is steroids. You don't want to do this. So what do they do to you? They'll make you really huge. They'll shrink your balls, but you're going to get really mad, but you'll be a top tier athlete. Okay, put it in my – no one's telling them not to. I mean, hey.
Right.
They're doing what they want to do.
That's why I never had a problem with it in baseball. I'm like, people are like, oh, the health of players. I'm like, they signed up for this. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, I'd watch and see if it hooked me. Great, I'm in. But it's not like they're going to do it with sports. They're going to do it with the Olympics, you know, like bodybuilders and things like that, which, I mean.
Yeah, like imagine if Ronnie Coleman was still alive and came in here. I'm sure you guys don't know who Ronnie Coleman is, but he's hilarious for his audio. I think he's dead. He was a huge bodybuilder. Couldn't even put his own clothes on.
Jeez.
Couldn't even wipe his own ass.
Yeah, what fun is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was
jacked. I have dude wipes now. I love it.
Mr. Olympia, man, I think is what he was. Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah, but what does that get you?
Wait, baby.
I mean, you can't do ordinary, normal human things. Is that the way to live your life? I don't know. But if you're making money off it and that's what you want to do,
that's fine.
But that
one time where there's a car on top of somebody, he could lift it up.
And he could lift it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Life's achieved.
See, I'd rather watch those guys like the outdoor games where the lumberjacks would climb the ladder with the steel saws and they'd have to put the thing up and climb. Like the old lumberjack games with Magnus von Magnussen and things like that. Like, I could watch that kind of stuff all the time. Look, if you want to do this and roll this out, go for it. There's an audience, I'm sure, for it. We'll see how long it lasts. I just want to see somebody roid out, man, go into rage in the middle of something and just go
sign
nuts and bust a bar in two.
Do you like American Ninja Warrior then?
That's all right. That's not my thing.
Does it make sex worse? It makes it even better.
Go from oh yeah to yes. Take that, Drew Nixon. Ronnie Coleman is not dead. Ronnie Coleman is dead. No, he's definitely still alive. He can walk now. He just did so many weights. Mr. Olympia, man. Lightweight baby was like his quote.
Let's do this. That was another one. He was, dude, just watch YouTube videos of Ronnie Coleman. Coming up, we are a quarter of the century through. I can't believe
that. Can you believe that? I saw that yesterday. I went, holy cow.
Yeah.
Quarter of the way through the century.
That's right. Who's your quarter of the century Royals team? We'll dive into that on the other side here with Mac, Bob, and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.